What if everything you believe about your own motivations is fundamentally wrong? Not slightly mistaken, but completely backwards. A carefully constructed illusion your mind has been maintaining since childhood. This unsettling possibility stands at the heart of Freud's revolutionary contribution to understanding human consciousness. His central principle echoed ancient wisdom from Buddha to Spinoza: truth liberates, illusion imprisons. But Freud went further, demonstrating that we actively hide truths from ourselves, burying uncomfortable realities beneath layers of acceptable explanations. His empirical work showed that insight into these hidden truths leads to healing, offering perhaps his most enduring gift to humanity. Despite fierce debates about scientific validity, Freud's concepts have permeated everything from everyday language to cinema, fundamentally reshaping how we understand why we think, feel, and behave as we do. Every groundbreaking thinker faces an impossible challenge: expressing genuinely new ideas using language inherited from the worldview they're trying to transcend. Each society operates a social filter, determining what can be thought and expressed. Ideas that cannot pass through remain literally unthinkable. Freud's thinking was constrained by two major conceptual limitations. First, bourgeois materialism made it unthinkable that powerful psychological forces could exist without physiological roots, leading him to ground all drives in sexuality, where the body-mind connection was evident. Second, patriarchal attitudes made genuine gender equality unthinkable. He dismissed John Stuart Mill as crazy for suggesting it. These weren't personal failures, but inevitable products of his historical moment. Many dismiss Freud as unscientific, demanding quantifiable data, but this primitive understanding has been abandoned by genuine scientists who recognize that creative science requires penetrating beyond surface phenomena through reason and imagination. Freud's methodology viewed each person as a whole system in constant flux, offering one of the earliest examples of systems theory. Freud made the unconscious central to psychology, revealing the gap between thinking and being. What we believe motivates us often contradicts what actually drives us. This transformed ethics. Sincerity isn't merely saying what one believes, but recognizing one's unconscious motivations. Imagine discovering that your most cherished beliefs about yourself, your generosity, rationality, kindness, might be elaborate disguises for motives you've never acknowledged. This is the disorienting yet liberating power of Freud's insight. However, he limited his discovery by assuming that what's repressed is primarily infantile sexual strivings influenced by Victorian morality. His blind spot was identifying bourgeois society with civilization itself, treating other cultures as primitive. This led him to overlook that sexual impulses often stem from non-sexual sources, like narcissism, sadism, or boredom. In modern consumer society, sexuality has become commodified, while the true unconscious conflicts involve freedom, guilt, happiness, honesty, power, and love, contradictions Freud largely ignored. How might our understanding of mental health differ if we recognized that our deepest repressions often involve our capacity for authentic living rather than our sexual desires? The full Oedipus trilogy reveals Freud missed the myth's deeper meaning. It's about rebellion against patriarchal authority, not incestuous desire. Throughout Sophocles' work, Oedipus connects with earth goddesses and matriarchal cults. His daughters, Antigone and Ismene, support him through exile, while Sophocles explicitly references Egyptian matriarchy when praising them. Antigone illustrates patriarchy's moral defeat despite its apparent victory. She embodies maternal principles of equality and universal love, defying Creon's rigid hierarchy by burying her brother against state law, representing the conflict between natural law and state authority. Recurring motifs reinforce this. The oracle at Delphi, originally Gaia's shrine, Oedipus's resting place in a grove sacred to the Furies, and Theban women's prominent roles. The trilogy portrays the fundamental struggle between matriarchal democracy and patriarchal dictatorship. patriarchy wins power but loses moral authority. This transforms the Oedipus complex from a universal sexual drama to a historically specific conflict between social systems, speaking to enduring questions about authority, justice, and social organization. Freud's discovery of transference, the analysand's intense emotional attachment to the analyst, reveals dynamics extending far beyond therapy. Patients unconsciously recreate significant past relationships with their therapists, experiencing emotions ranging from intense love to hatred. This phenomenon operates universally. In politics, followers develop passionate attachments to leaders who symbolically represent parental figures, explaining why rational criticism rarely persuades devoted followers. Their connection isn't based on logic, but on deep emotional needs. Both children and adults experience fundamental helplessness against overwhelming forces, natural disasters, economic uncertainties, social upheavals, creating a universal longing for powerful protectors. This social transference manifests everywhere. Citizens looking to political leaders for safety, congregations seeking divine protection through religious authorities, employees transferring parental expectations onto corporate figures. Modern examples include social media influencers cultivating quasi-parental relationships, political movements taking on cult-like characteristics, and brands fostering emotional attachments transcending rational consumer behavior. Understanding transference explains why facts alone rarely change minds. People's emotional investments in leaders, beliefs, and institutions run deeper than rational consideration. Many institutions exploit these dynamics, maintaining followers in psychological dependency rather than fostering autonomy. Narcissists often mask self-absorption through ostentatious helpfulness or false humility, unconsciously denying their narcissism while feeding it through pride in their virtues. When admired, they thrive. When wounded, they collapse into depression or rage. Group narcissism carries profound political weight. Those lacking personal prestige transfer their narcissism to their nation, religion, or group, satisfying their need for greatness through identification. While individual narcissistic claims sound absurd, identical claims about one's group seem normal. This fuels intense rage toward criticism and drives fanaticism, from sports loyalties to international conflicts. In wartime, nations see only their virtues and enemies' vices, constructing narratives of moral superiority while demonizing opponents. Industrial society's worship of production has made modern humans narcissistically proud of their creations, potentially drowning in self-admiration like Narcissus at his reflection. Recognizing nationalistic fervor as collective narcissism illuminates modern phenomena from culture wars to international conflicts, revealing how collective self-love blinds entire societies to their contradictions. Freud's theory was genuinely radical. After Galileo displaced Earth from the universe's center and Darwin removed humans from divine creation, Freud showed that conscious thinking merely veils our true thoughts and feelings. This discovery had revolutionary potential to expose social structures and inspire change, yet psychoanalysis became absorbed into middle-class liberalism. The focus on sexual liberation deflected attention from social criticism, suggesting personal satisfaction would resolve general malaise without examining economic and political factors. Psychoanalysis was tamed partly because patients wanted success within existing structures rather than radical freedom. It lost its critical edge by focusing on individual childhood events rather than socioeconomic factors, ultimately supporting consumerism by implying full sexual satisfaction was the key to mental health. Freud's ambiguous notion of reality, taking capitalist society as the highest social form, further limited his vision, leading to his tragic conclusion that full happiness and civilization were incompatible. The challenge remains to reclaim Freud's critical spirit while transcending his limitations, using his insights not to adjust people to society, but to transform both individuals and the social structures shaping them.